Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Before we pop our corks, could I ask you a huge favour? If you don't already follow us, would you hit the follow button and give us a follow? You see the three little dots at the top right hand of your screen? Just tap that, hit the follow show tab, it's the first on the drop down menu, and ta-da! That means two things. One, you're never going to miss an episode. And two, it really does help us to bring you the very best guests there are out there. Speaking of which, on with the show. And welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And my guest this week is a bona fide 90s pop legend who left the scene for 17 years to raise a family, only to return via the Strictly dance floor to pick up her pop career where she left off. As a solo artist, she sold 15 million records. But before she went it alone, she was one quarter of the hugely successful 90s girl band Eternal. Having studied at the Italia Conti stage school when she was just 15, she was spotted dancing in a nightclub by chance by the man who would go on to manage and put Eternal together. Their success was fast, international, and gave her the perfect platform to step out on her own, which she did with huge success. Robbie Williams introduced her to the man who would become her husband for 20 years, Jamie Redknapp, and they went on to have two sons, Charlie and Beau, now 18 and 14. In 2017, after more than 20 years together, they divorced. And whilst finding her feet as a single mother, she successfully navigated releasing her first album in 17 years, Heavy Love, toured, became a regular headliner in West End shows like 9 to 5, Fatal Attraction and Cabaret, and is now set to release her greatest hits album, which she's launching with an intimate one-off live and evening with show at the Shepherd's Bush Empire on June the 1st. She's a woman who is much talked about, having lived all of her adult life in the public eye, but as you're about to discover, of all of the many things that have been written and said about her, the fact that she's one of the nicest women in the business is probably the most common thread in a life well documented. Louise Redknapp, what a joy to have you here.
You're going to make me cry. Oh no, it's so good to see you.
I've known you so long.
And it just so like, just so nice when you walk in a room and you're so familiar with someone. It's just, and you just go back so many years.
We've not stopped talking, have we?
No, we haven't. Like, so it's so good to be here.
It's so good to see you. Because you're right, we almost started out at exactly the same time as one another.
Yeah, well, you wrote my very first book.
I did. I wrote your first book. Somebody put it on
didn't
Instagram.
Have that many pages because I hadn't done a lot. I mean, how did... That must have been a tough write for you because...
No, it was... No, of course it wasn't a tough
write. I hadn't done anything. You were like, what do we write?
Well, you had. You'd been to, like... You know, you'd had this really interesting upbringing in Southeast London with your incredible mum who had literally bust a gut. And she's here today.
She
it's so
is.
Lovely to see your mum.
Yeah, she's here.
She had bust a gut to give you every opportunity because your dad left. You never really knew your dad, did you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm close with my stepdad. But yeah, my real dad, I didn't know him at all.
So I remember we talked about that in the book. And then you won a scholarship to one of the most prestigious stage schools, not just in the country, but in the world, Italia Conti.
Don't know how that happened. Little old Lou just turned up from Lewisham with a jazz shoes.
Jazz hands, jazz shoes, ready to
and
go.
And a backing track of I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. I mean,
yep. Is that what it was?
I remember.
How apt, Lou? Here you are 30 years later.
I Will Survive. I literally went in. Everyone was singing like their Annie and It's a Hard Knock Life. And they said to me, what are you going to sing? I said, well, I've actually just got the B-side to I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. Can I sing that? I was 10.
You were 10?
Just turning 11, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe I should cover that.
And then on your first day at school, you met Kelly Bryan, who, when you were tapped on the shoulder, was it by, I'm guessing it was Dennis Inglesby that was in the club and not Oliver Smallman?
Yeah, it was Dennis. So Pete Tong, it was kind of just before Pete Tong really sort of exploded into the world of super cool DJ, before all of that kind of era. And he had signed Pete Tong and he'd gone down to see him in the Milk Bar in Tottenham Court Road.
So Milk Bar was like, so let's just explain who these characters are. So Dennis Inglesby and Oliver Smallman became your managers and the owners of the label to which Eternal was signed. Dennis Inglesby is arguably one of the biggest characters in the business. I remember not long after you'd left Eternal, I escorted Dennis and the three remaining members of Eternal to the Vatican where they performed for the Pope. And it was the only time I saw Dennis not in a shell suit. Yeah. He would even go to the Brits in a shell suit.
He was tracky bottoms. He was either in a dressing gown or a shell suit. One or the other. He was always in a hotel in a dressing gown, walking around the lobby. Where's his girls? What's going on? Yeah,
So Dennis was the real character and he had a real love and buzz for music. And as did Oliver, but Oliver was much more the business.
Yeah, he was a businessman. Yeah.
So you're in this nightclub at the Milk Bar, which was where lots of great up-and-coming DJs started. Dennis was down there checking out Tongi.
Yes, literally. And just literally, I was on the dance floor. Shouldn't have been in there. My mum had no idea I was in there. I was meant to be staying at my friend's Catherine's.
And 15 years old.
15 years old. We didn't even go to the nightclub. So we used to go down to the Trocadero and get yogurt. And we were walking down Tottenham Court Road. And the guys on the door of the Milk Bar said, ladies, why don't you come in? And we were like, we're ladies, come on, let's just go. And we just went in.
No.
Yeah, so we did.
So you hadn't even gone out to go clubbing?
No, we were 15. It's only that they asked if we wanted to go in.
How did I not put that in the book?
I don't know, maybe I didn't open up about that.
I'm learning something new 30 years on.
I kept quiet about that. Yeah, and we were
That is nuts. When you think about it, everything that has happened in your life since is as a result of that guy asking you into that nightclub.
Yes. Yep, it wasn't even like a weekend night. It was school holidays. We were just going out to hang out at the Trocadero and went in there. And I remember the music being really good and I loved music. So even from that age, I wanted to be a pop star. That's what I was the only girl like in my year at stage school. Everyone wanted to be West End or an actress or a dance teacher or something. And I was like, oh, I just want to be a pop star. So everyone thought I was completely, you know, nuts with such huge aspirations. And he came up to me and went, can you sing? I was like, I can actually, yeah. And he looked at me like, and gave me his card. And yeah, from then it was history.
And then you brought Kelly in.
Then I brought Kelly in. He said, have you got any friends? I started doing some sort of BBs and that with the other girls and brought Kelly in. And I think
they could really sing as well.
Oh, God. I mean, incredible voices.
So at that time, Dennis also had Dina Carroll.
Yep. Incredible voice. I mean, superstar.
Who else was on? Bad Boys Inc.
Bad Boys Inc. They had Alicia Warren, who's Misha Paris's sister.
Yes.
Huge voice. Michelle. Lovely Mish. Yeah. Sweetness.
That's my weakness.
Yeah. I mean, still one of my favourite songs.
It's a cute song.
So cute. Yeah, so they were really kind of happening. But Eternal were their first sort of big break.
Yeah.
Their Honeys come after
the Honeys, that. That's right.
Yeah.
My goodness. I mean, it was a hit factory in its own right, really.
And they did it slightly different. I think you had like that whole Stock Aitken and Waterman kind of.
But this was more urban.
It was much more urban. It was much more, I mean, that's one thing Dennis knew, like you said, he had so much passion about music. Mm. He loved great musicians, great songwriters, encouraged us to write. And I think due to the nature of the band, we were so lucky because once we sort of started with Stay and sort of those records
Stay is
started
still
going
such
out,
a great record.
Still such a great song. You had people like Rodney Jerkins and wanting to work with us. So all of a sudden, we're in New York with sort of, you know, the Winans recording, and Luther Vandross is sat on the sofa outside. And I'm like, just, you know, when you just, you're so gobsmacked that you almost don't become starstruck anymore, because you're just like, it's fight or flight here. I just need to step up to the plate and be everything I'm meant to be for being in this room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were great times, though. You know, like the 90s was amazing times for music.
It really was. And the opportunities. I mean, the fact that I went to meet the Pope with a turn. and Gloria Gaynor was there.
Oh,
she was there. She did I Will Survive in the Vatican. Gypsy Kings, who got so overcome with emotion at being in the presence of, you know, the Pope in, you know, the Vatican.
I'm incredible.
But they took us to afterwards to a restaurant, the Vatican restaurant. We got picked up by nuns in a minibus wearing trainers, and they had mobile phones up their sleeve, and they listened to pop music in the Vatican minibus.
Yeah,
we were like,
I bet.
Dennis is going to me, shut up. No, no. It's literally the only time he came down to reception and he was wearing a suit. And I said, it looks like you're going to prison not to meet the Pope, because he just never wore smart clothes.
No, never. They just turn things on their head and just, they have these wild ideas and they just make them happen.
And listen, you talk about the other kids at school wanting to go into the West End. Hello, look at you.
Yeah, I do love the West End.
You're going in as Teen Angel.
Yes, yep.
The Dominion?
Yep, at the Dominion, which is such an amazing theatre.
This summer,
yeah.
Arlene Phillips's choreography.
I know, and I go back years with Arlene as well, so we haven't actually started work on it yet together, but I don't know, I always wanted to do the West End, but you know, like, especially back in the day, you got put in your little pockets. Yeah. You were one thing or another. I think where the industry's changed so much is you can be a bit of everything now, which totally plays itself into my hands, because yeah, I love doing a bit of everything.
Well, you've not just done musical theatre, you've played it straight as well. Fatal Attraction was a straight role, no singing.
Yeah.
You took that out on tour.
Yeah.
You've done Cabaret with Will Young. You played Sally Bowles. He was MC.
Yeah.
I mean, you've pushed yourself, Lou.
Do you know, I think you've got to. I think, like, sometimes these things do come in and I do sort of for a moment. This is where having a really good support network is so important. People that believe in you, because we all doubt ourselves. I mean, I do on a daily basis. And sometimes something had come through the door. And I remember Fatal Attraction. It was between my management, and it was the same production company as what I'd done 9to5 with. So yeah. 9to5 was
you
very...
You opened 9to5, didn't
open,
you?
Yeah.
You were part of the opening cast in the West End.
Yeah, and it was a massive role.
Huge.
Like, if you saw it, my role was, I think I was off stage for maybe 10 minutes throughout the whole thing. So
wow,
line-wise and sort of commitment, it was huge. They come and said, do you fancy doing a play? I was like, oh, no, I don't do plays. I'm not a straight actress. I don't do plays, even though I do quite like acting. And I've said to my management, there's absolutely no way I can do that. And then you just sometimes need someone to go kick up the bum. You can. And this is my reasoning why. And there's one thing everyone that knows me well knows, that I love a challenge. And when I mean business, I mean business. And I was like, right, okay, I'm going to do this. The director was amazing. It was a female director, Loveday. I love working with her. She's just genius.
What a name, Loveday.
Loveday, I know. And she's just so cool. And I met with her. And between sort of that network, everyone's made
you
me believe.
The wife, right? Not the bunny boiler.
Yeah, I wasn't the bunny boiler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I could have got through those sex scenes without laughing. So when I was in it, Susie Amy was doing the bunny boiler and she was so good. But obviously every night she had to kind of strip off a little bit. And I used to think that's where my confidence would fall short. Just like in some little theatre in the middle of nowhere with your kit off on stage. I was like, oh, I'm not ready for that.
Just you and a merkin.
Yeah,
no.
I'm not ready for that. Some sexy lighting. That was not going to. Yeah. But I loved it. And I learned so much. I miss singing. I sort of went on the stage, I could hear my own footsteps. So I used to think, oh, I wish there was music starting.
Where's the beat?
Yeah. I want to like pop my shoulders a bit.
Well, this all takes me really nicely into my first question for you, actually, Lou, because I want to talk about some of the gutsy decisions that you've made. So are you ready?
Yes.
Second chances are a real theme in your life and your work. And I can track it all the way back to the very beginning with Eternal. So the band are huge. They are nominated for awards. You're selling millions of records. You're, you know, sharing a sofa with Luther Vandross in recording studios on the other side of the world. And you quit. to go it alone. Potential madness, but it paid off. Then you step back to have a family. Again, a big risk, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a chance that that door may stay forever shut.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's dog eat dog out there. It's someone jumps in your place very quickly.
It takes 2 minutes for you to become, oh, didn't you used to be?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That can be your previous...
Which I feel happened a little bit for a while, but I had to fight to get that back.
Yeah, which... And so you raise your two beautiful boys. You're in and out of work, but you make that big concerted return to a very big spotlight in 2016 when you say yes to Strictly. I'm imagining not the first time you've been asked.
I had been asked many a times before, always said no, yeah.
And then that gave you that kind of newfound confidence to go, I am going to go back for a second bite at this cherry, because you rediscovered you.
A bit of unfinished business there between me and the industry, I think.
Yeah.
And I loved being a mum to the boys and being at home. But when a business is all you've known, and like we talk about those early, early days, the thrill of those, of going to parts of the world, like we said, sit on a sofa with Luther Vandross and going into the studio in New York with Rodney Jerkins and being, you know, that... You can't just get rid of those kind of adrenaline rushes. They're there. There's something, especially when you love music and you love doing what you do.
But it's like muscle memory, isn't it?
Yeah.
It reawakens those old muscles that used to spring to life in the face of all of that.
So not having that in your life is, you get to a stage where you're like, I don't know. I used to love just being able to go out sort of when I was at home with the boys, just to get that music fix, just to go somewhere where the music was good and I was a good DJ. You know, like, God, put me in a good wedding with a good DJ. I was well aware of having the time of my life. It was like, Louise never looked so happy. But I think it was just the DJ was playing all the old songs that I love. And I suppose it's just really what makes me happy.
But each time you did any of those big pivots in your life, you doubted yourself. You were full of, can I, should I, would I? No. You were scared, but you still did it anyway. And I think that people underestimate how steely you can be once you've put your mind to something. So talk to me about each of those decisions and how one went on to inform the other, because I can't imagine that you'd be here now if you hadn't, for example, found the chutzpah to Left Eternal in the first place.
Yeah, leaving a band like that was never going to be easy. All I knew and all where I'd got to was that I wasn't loving it the way I should, which fundamentally there's something wrong, because you grow as people and you grow in different directions. And I think in Eternal, we were all had different sort of end goals. You know me, I'm pretty easygoing. Yeah. I like most people. It takes a lot to offend me. And I just felt that my career needed to represent that in my, because your career becomes your personal life when you're young and you're working at that level.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's all one thing. There's not shut the door and go home. The music industry in the 90s engulfed your whole life. And it was never really about what I was doing on stage. I loved the music I was making. Singing with the girls was incredible, but I needed my personal life to represent all of it that was working for me. So being part of a band, your personal life takes a hit because you're working to three other people's schedules.
Yeah, and their agendas. And it's, you have to dilute yourself in order for the band unit, you know, that unit to work. But when you turn around and said, I'm going, I mean, you must have had people, certainly at a sort of record company level, try to talk you out of it. So you must have faced some sort of wall of resistance.
It's really weird, because I thought I would. And I think people that work close to us could see the divide. And it wasn't bad, nothing to blame, no one
just
to
different
blame.
Different characters.
Just the divide. Mm. And I remember walking into EMI Records and JF is this very personable French guy, but he was like one of the...
He was the big boss, right?
He was the big boss. He's the MD. And I had many MDs at EMI through the course of my contract there, but he was the flamboyant one. He was the one that, darling, how are you today? You know, he was one of those kind of... And I was young, by no means full of myself. I still felt like very much, not the lesser part in Eternal, but I wasn't the lead vocalist. I was in awe of their talent and I was just grateful to be there. But I knew that my life as life was suffering, you know.
Yeah. And was that by that point you were married or?
No.
With Jamie? No, were you?
Okay. Oh, God, I'm trying to get. I was with Jamie towards the end, yeah. And then I just walked in and said, I don't think I can stay in the group. I think I'm going to leave. I'm so sorry because I know how much time and effort and money you've put into us, but I can't do this anymore. Not in a million trillion years was I expecting, well, you can carry on with the rest of the 5-album deal on your own. I just thought I was going to walk out there and they were most probably going to sue me. And I thought, oh, well, I haven't got anything to give you, so you could just sue me anyway. I was like, I still live at home with my mum at the moment. So
really?
Early days eternal, yeah, I still lived at home. But he actually was great. He went, you know what, I understand. I understand, and I'm really happy to if you would commit to the 5-album deal but make 4 albums on your own to finish the deal. And I remember walking down the road, going to get myself like a sandwich and a cup of tea and just thinking, now what am I going to do? Like, oh shit. My God, shit. Oh, I don't even know where to start.
Who did you call? Did you even have a mobile phone then?
No, I don't think I did have a mobile phone. I think I went home and told my mum and my mum and dad. And I think at that stage, like, everyone was just so, when you're in it, you don't really see how big it is. Because they just, you're still just normal when you walk through the front door. It doesn't matter that you've sold a good few 100,000 records that year or whatever. You
week.
Just weak, yeah.
It was 15 million with Eternal, 15 million on your own. So you've had a hand in 30 million records being sold, Lou.
I think I just was, you just, you know, you're not really aware of any of that at the time. Well, yeah. I definitely wasn't. And I was like, oh, they want me to do 4 albums on my own. And everyone, my mum just went, oh, that's nice. Yeah, it's good. Oh, do you feel all right about that then?
What do
and
you
I'm
want
like,
tea?
I think I feel all right about that. Yeah. I don't know, actually. Yeah. I'm pleased, but I'm really, really scared. And then it just happens. I'm a big believer in everything for a reason. And yeah, I was so lucky. Again, I got an opportunity. I know so many talented people that never get given an opportunity. And I've been given so many. And I like to think I've taken that opportunity and run with all of my heart in it.
Definitely. Do you, when you talk about that moment in time, something's just flashed back to me. When you first went solo, I was the editor of Smash Hits and we put you on the cover. And I remember Dennis and Ollie speaking to me and we're going, you know, they're going, it's amazing, right? Because, you know, like, girls want to be her, boys want to go out with her. Yeah? And you did have that appeal. But it was really important that young girls remained connected to you. So
yeah.
Dennis went, right, leave it with me. I'm going to speak to the label. And he went off and he spoke to the marketing department. He came back and he went, we're going to do a cover mount, right? So back in the day, do you remember what cover mounts were? It was like sticking a fiver on the cover of the magazine. So you give away like a free lip gloss or
yeah.
a free CD or whatever. And we decided at the time that, do you remember the T-bar Tiffany necklaces?
Yes, do you remember? Do you know one of those, didn't we?
So we sourced these yeah. really cheap. And they look good, and we mocked it all up. I said, this is going to be great. And Dennis was like, the girl's going to love it. It's like, yeah. it's a knock.
Because it was
Tiffany.
Quite tough as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like a proper big old chain.
So
and
off it goes to, and it's like, it was so weighty on the stands. It looked amazing. And then the letters started coming in. My daughter's neck is green from this necklace. It was so cheap.
Good old Dennis. I think I've still got some of them at home.
Don't wear them.
No, I won't wear it. I'm going to end up with a green neck.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
No, but I remember that was always, and I don't think I ever tried to be that, what you describe, but anyone that knows me knows I'm such a girl's girl.
Oh, good, just totally like, girls. No, the girls, the audience at Smash Hits absolutely loved you. And at that time, this is pre-Spice Girls in that time, very rarely would we put a girl on the cover.
Yeah.
Because it hit sales.
Yeah.
You know, sales went down. But it didn't with you. And that was something that I think the record company took a lot of stock from. They were like, right, this is good. And things like that would inform marketing spend, which would then inform whether or not you were,
yeah,
you know, on 85 billboards or none.
Yeah. And I think I was slightly oblivious to all of this. I think I was so young, so just sort of going my stride. But now looking back, I realise why it worked.
Mm.
But being in it at the time,
yeah, you don't.
I didn't really understand
it. The charm of it is that you shouldn't be that aware.
Yeah, I was just doing what I was doing.
Yeah, you're just being you.
Yeah, I was.
Just, yeah, let the marketing men worry about the marketing or marketing.
And it was nice being able to do such a cross section of magazines as well. I think I was the first woman to ever be on the front of GQ actually, which was like I remember them
saying
it to me.
There was a time when I know that in my corridor at work, so next to my office was, so we had Smash Hits, and then next door was FHM, and up one flight of stairs was Sky Magazine. Oh, and then Arena Magazine. And you did every single cover.
Yeah. I think all within the sort of same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what, that was when I started realising that we were hitting lots of different markets. Mm. But it took me to come out the other side. And actually, I approached them all with exactly the same sort of attitude of going in there. I don't think I ever tried to be anything special for each one. They just got me, even if I was doing like the sexy magazines, I still just turn up as
FHM when it was still it was a big thing in as a moment in time.
Yeah,
they named you the sexiest woman of the decade.
Yeah, I went to pick that award up pregnant, 8 months.
Did you?
I wore a green dress. I looked like a big Granny Smith apple. I don't know what possessed me to even agree to go and pick up that award at 8 months pregnant. But I actually have those awards in my downstairs toilet today.
Good. So you should.
And my 14-year-old puts them flat when he has friends round. No jokes. He literally puts them down flat.
Imagine.
He's like, no one needs to see them. Why have we got them in the downstairs toilet?
It must be hard for kids to have parents like us.
Can't be easy, can it?
No.
Because I suppose not all their friends' mums are kind of do our job.
A simple Google will bring up everything from the 90s.
Yes.
And... yeah, which is great. I own it and celebrate it. But
yeah, I do.
When
now.
You're sat on the school bus, it's no fun, is it?
Yeah, my older one, he's much more kind of laughs it off now. But the 14, like, I don't really do anything for the 14-year-old to be a bit like wary of, like even the last music video. He said to me, "It's nice to see you fully clothed in this music video." I'm like, trousers and a top and flats on. Like, he hasn't seen the next video.
There's time.
Yeah, there's still time in my silver bodysuit that's coming out next.
Why not though, Lou?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I do everything. I'd never do anything that's not tasteful. I'd never do anything that they'd really be embarrassed. It's all banter. Like, I know they are so proud. They're my biggest champions.
What about the decision to step back from all of that? Because having worked so hard to achieve it all, I think, I don't know if it was the same for you, but I definitely wanted to carry on being a professional person, but less so when I became a mum. Being his mum became so important to me. So I dialed it down.
Oh, God, best job in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not an ounce of regret. I'm not saying I didn't miss doing what I do, and I didn't miss living that kind of just getting that thrill from being so passionate about something, but nothing compares to the love you feel for your kids. And it was actually nice to step away from it a little bit, actually, and just kind of cocoon myself in this kind of new little life. Even now, I'm sure I over-mummy my kids, even at 14 and 18. Like, they'll be like, "Mum, we're not babies anymore." And I still find myself just doing stupid little things, like taking them up, like the other night, I just chopped Beau up some fruit and made him a warm drink and just took it up to his bedroom. And he sort of laughed at me and said, "You know, Mum, you don't need to do this for me. I said, oh, no, I just wanted to. I just did you a little fruit platter. I just thought you can pick at it while you're chatting to your friends. And as I walked out the door, he went, I do love you. I was like, my heart. And I thought, I still get, there's nothing like getting that validation from your kids.
I will never regret stepping back and saying no to some big opportunities so that I could say yes to the school run.
Yeah.
But equally, I'm so pleased that I've been able to keep enough of a hand in so that when I was ready to step back and be more present professionally, that
and it's hard, isn't it? Because I feel I didn't keep much of a hand in. I felt I threw everything at that. And I think in my industry as well, especially like in pop, there's new people coming out all the time. And I wasn't going to be that young, sweet, kind of innocent. I wasn't going to be able to be portrayed in the same way coming back after having children. And I went away for a long time. So,
were you scared, Lou?
Oh, petrified. Do you know what? At the time, I was really content. So I was never scared walking away from it, because in my head, I wasn't walking away from anything. I was just having a family. So I wasn't like, oh, I'm walking away from my industry. I'm like, okay, it's time to have a family. And nothing made me happier. It's only as time goes on that... And I'm sure there'll be so many mums that have experienced this. So the first few years, you're fine and you're occupied with your job in hand. And all of a sudden, you sit back and you think, oh.
Who am I?
Not quite sure what to wear going out for dinner on Tuesday night. And, oh, I just don't know really if I've got much to say when I'm going out for dinner. I feel a bit like, and I've always got a lot to say. And I felt myself just...
Shrink
a little bit. And that's no one's fault. I think that was just being there to life changing.
You can't be yourself as much because you're so many things to so many other people, right?
And so,
yes, it does happen. And you don't have as much to talk about because all your day is spent being a parent.
Yeah. And it was more scary at the thought of coming back to work. That was where I knew I wanted to, but that was where I think the real nerves really hitting. I don't feel up until that point I had overthought anything. Like the eternal days, leaving was really scary. But again, I must have been so resilient. So I just picked up and started again.
You really did.
I just was like, okay, light of my life, naked. Oh, I'm going to go and work with Madonna's choreographer, Jamie King, and roll around in a box. I'm up for that. You know, in a silver suit that lights up. It's just like, I'll throw myself at anything. And, then having the kids, I'm like, right, okay, it's time to be a mum. But then when it hit me that I want to work, but how do I work again? And what do I do? And so much by this stage it happened. Because when I went off to do Strictly, I wasn't doing Strictly with the idea of working again. That was not the plan. I just thought I need to do something. The kids were a bit older and I actually did it because... my mum, and at the time, you know, Jamie's mum, just loved the programme so much. And I just thought, this is going to be really good for me. I'm going to get fit and just give myself a little something to do, a little bit of a project. It was after that when work became a real reality. And not only did I want to work, I needed to work. I needed to find a life for myself. That's when the real nerves kicked in.
Yeah, because your circumstances had changed.
My circumstances had changed. I was now single. I needed to go to work for so many more reasons, like not to be famous. I mean, let's make one thing very clear. That was never, I want to be, yeah. I sometimes read a comments and it's like, oh, she wants to be famous again. It's like, I never wanted to be famous again. You know, that was the last thing on my mind. I wanted to work because it defines a huge part of who I am. I love what I do. And also I needed that purpose.
Yeah.
I needed that purpose and I needed to go and earn a living too. You know, I needed to get out there and find a bit of everything again. So
they say when somebody's coming back from or trying to find their way out of, you know, an episode of clinical depression, the first thing you need as a building block is purpose.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge amount of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you have purpose, you're thinking, what are you talking about? If you've ever experienced not having purpose... then actually, when you get up every day, who are you? What do you do? Where do you go? Yeah. What's your day about? How long is that day without?
I think when the kids are young, your purpose, because they can't get out their cots or their beds and get to school, and they start getting a bit older, and I just missed that thrill of, but I didn't realise I missed it until I did Strictly. I knew I did, but not to the point where I wanted to do it again.
Tell yourself as well, Lou, don't you, that you used to be good at that.
I used to be good. I used to do that.
Yeah, that, and that's what I started to do. And then I mean, I was pregnant. When I was pregnant, I just signed up to host the first Strictly tour. And then I went back and carried on hosting it until Ben went to school. And I took him on the road with me, which was a juggle and a half.
Yeah.
But every January, that meant that I had to get into my sequins, dance in arenas. Yeah. And I pushed myself.
Yeah.
And I really, really pushed myself. And I remembered for those 6 weeks, as I travelled with sterilisers and travel cots and no sleep, I remembered who I was.
Yeah.
And that was so important.
Yeah. I think for me, the first moment of awakening was way after that. I think Strictly was just all, it was what it was. I got out there, did it. And then sort of the year to come after, and sort of stepping back on into a studio where, for me now, that shit really did count. Do you know what I mean? Because whatever I do in there defines whether I ever make music again or not.
So you had one chance.
I had one chance. There was
that's probably quite a realistic take, actually, because it's expensive, right?
It's expensive. No one's going to go, oh, well, that song was pretty crap, but hey ho, let's give her another shot. I mean, I was already on my my last legs as far as I needed to go in there and make no wrong moves. And I was also battling a lot of judgment everywhere from what was being sort of brought in about my circumstances.
Very difficult to try and establish your professional self when all anybody wants to talk about is your personal self.
Yeah, and I was finding if I didn't talk about it, that was a problem. And if I did talk about it, everybody was like, oh, she's just talking about that because she wants to get more coverage. I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about it. I'm here to focus on that part. It's got nothing to do with anyone else. But I am putting myself out here to try and regain a love and a passion that I had from being 10 when I walked into.
But you see, I really saw that, Lou, maybe because I know you, but I think my girlfriends would say the same. We saw that in you. We identified. I think anybody that's had to put themselves second for a long time, for whatever reason, and that's mainly motherhood or parenting, really got that. So I'm sure you heard a lot of loud keyboard warrior style critics, but what you wouldn't have heard was this sort of silent army of support from so many women out there that went, do you know what? Maybe I've got a second act in me. Maybe there is another chapter to me, because you do, you become something to everyone. No one, there's nothing left for yourself.
Yeah.
And so for all of the stuff that you might have heard or read or whatever, I'm just telling you that there is an army of brilliant women out there that just thought, good on you.
Oh, thanks, Kate. Yeah, I think it took me a while to see that. I see that now.
You do good.
But I felt pretty on my own for a really long time. Like, I did think, well, I'm really opening myself up for as much abuse as someone can get right now. But like you said, something in me just kept on going. I'm proud that I gave my career another shot. I'm really, really proud I gave
them
a shot.
In the most public, it's not like you just applied for a job locally in a sort of, you know, coffee shop or an eased your way back onto the, you know, into the working world. It was so public and you didn't quit. And now look at you. And actually, you're going to pave the way for a lot of other women to be able to do this as well. And that's really good, Lou.
Yeah. And do you know what? I just think, just throw everything at something. You know, whatever that may be, you have to be a bit fearless in life sometimes, and you're going to get a bit of a hell of a journey through some of it, and you're going to get a smooth ride through some of it. But at least you're on a bit of a journey and a bit of a ride rather than not being on anything.
But look at the example you're setting your boys as well. They've seen you go through this and carry yourself with guts, drive, determination, and those are all qualities that you'd want to instill in them.
Yeah, I'm proud of what I've done, and there's been some huge bumps in that in the road along the way, and it by no means have I been anywhere near perfect, but I've not let go. I've really believed that you can go and achieve, and I'm still fighting that journey, and it's still some days, you know, harder than others, but I'm really grateful that I get to make music and do what I do. I feel like I'm a much better artist now than I've ever been, because every word I sing is with so much emotion and passion. You know, whatever I do it because I really want to do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I get to still be out there. And by no means is it easy. You know, life is not. I sometimes look at other people's life and I think, oh God, their lives are so blissful and beautiful, and I'm still like paddling, like I'm this part's smooth, but the legs underneath
it. Yeah.
I'm doing the swan. But I'm all right with that. I think
Lou, look at where you
just have to be peaceful with where you're at.
But you should be at peace because you've struggled amongst all of the change that was going on to reestablish your singing career. You're opening West End shows time and time again. You're going back into the West End this year. You're not stopping. It's so lovely and inspiring to see. I commend and congratulate.
Thank you.
Friend.
And you're smashing it as well out there. I mean, look at this professional setup. I thought it was coming to your house.
Yeah, that's next time. And I will definitely be popping a few corks there. Now, before we move to question number two, forgive me, but I've had to do a time check. And frankly, because Lou and I haven't seen each other for a fair few years now, we had too much to catch up on. So this is going to be a two-part episode with questions two and three coming your way next Friday. But before I sign off, here's a little amuse-bouche, something to whet your appetite for next week's episode.
We'd just flown in. He was like, I want to take you to my church. I'm like, okay, that sounds fab. So we all go along to church. We're sat at the front with Bebe and his family. And then you've got Luther, and then you've got Whitney Houston, and then you've got Brian McKnight, and then you've got Take Six, and you've got Raphael Sadiq. Anyone that knows me, I'm a massive Raphael Sadiq fan. He's an amazing, amazing funk guitarist. And I'm just sat there
in
looking around
with all of those people.
In church with all of those people going, like completely in awe, walk into the studio the next day, bearing in mind I just heard all of these people singing and how incredible they were. And Bebe was like, so Lou, I think you should take the first verse. I'm like, me? What, the first verse?
Do you want Fernie, Esther?
I'm like, I'm not the lead singer. I don't do the verses. He was like, you do now? I was like, shit, are you kidding me?
Ah, there you go. I can't wait for you to hear it in its entirety. For now, though, my thanks to you for loaning us your ears, and also to Maria Nibbs and the Yahoo Studios team who produced the show with me. As always, music's by Andy Bell. Editing is by Eleanor Humphrey. I'll be back next Friday with Lou for plenty more chat. Until then, thanks for your company.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.